Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. In 2010, I went to Oranje. It had come up on my African Crisis website, and people were very interested in it. So I went there along with another English guy, and we went and stayed there a couple of days. And the people showed us around. So take a look at these photos that I took, and at the end of this I will add some other comments and other important information relating to Oranje. So let's take a look at some of these photos. These are photos that I took in 2010 of Oranje, and you can see that I was even putting my website details on it back then. So this is just somebody's house in Oranje, and you can see the street. I'm sure they made the streets. They did everything. This is their sort of little Oranje bank. And this is a bad photograph that I've got, but here on the right-hand side is a South African rand note, and there on the left is the ora. The ora is the Oranje currency, and so you can you can swap between them. They even had a cryptocurrency. I don't know what's happened to it. I've kind of lost track of what they've been up to in the 13 years since. So let's move on. Just to show you, the area where these people live is not a nice area. It's far away, it's very remote, and it's not a beautiful area. And of course, the blacks don't really want to live in this kind of area, but whites can live anywhere, and whites make a go of it. So here you can see the Orange River. They are right next to the Orange River, and this is critically important because this is where they get their water. But you can see it's flat and dry, and you get a couple of trees in the distance, but that is what it's like. And this place gets hot. It's not a nice climate. So at a point, they took me to their fields. I wanted to see their fields. And this is their own pipeline. It is quite a massive pipeline. And I think this is from the Orange River to Oranje in the distance. There on the higher ground is Oranje. But this is quite a serious piece of pipe that they've got here, and they pump their own water. And again, look at the ground. You'll see it's really dry. It's not a pretty place to live. But these people make a go of it. They're not a bunch of crybabies. They're not like the blacks that need help every day of their lives, and no matter how much help they get, it's still not enough, and they're still failing. These people look after themselves and they get things done. Oranje's got a little holiday resort right there by the river. And so this little holiday resort is quite a good stream of income for these people. And here you can see, I love these wooden buildings. I love these wooden buildings. And it's just like the Americans. The Americans build houses out of wood, they move on, they move forward, and Oranje's got these lovely little wooden buildings. And here is Oranje's recycling. So these are their recycling bins. So I don't know what this one on the left is. It's something Harvey Bar. Don't quite know. I can't read it properly, and I don't know what it means. But the next one is plastic, which is plastic. Next one is papier, which is paper. Next one is metal, which is metal. Next one is glass, which is glass. So they've got their own little recycling and efficiency stuff that they do. This will give you an example of the estate agents that they've got. There are a couple of people who are estate agents, and they sell property in Oranje. So this is one of their signs. And so here, this little boy here who rolls up his sleeve, this is awesome. This is National Socialism, my friends. So this little boy who rolls up his sleeves, he's the symbol of Oranje. These people go and they get the job done. And so it says here, betal met ora. So it's buy with their ora currency. And then you can see this is some apartments. It says Marnati Woonhede. So that's Marnati Apartments. And it says Tekoop, to buy. And it says here Skakel No, which is phone now. And there are the mobile phone numbers of the estate agents. And there's the plan of these apartments that they're selling. And I liked certain houses, and I liked the kinds of designs and variations and the things that people got up to. Here was somebody who built himself a double-story house. And double-story houses are not common in South Africa. And this is his double-story house. So I thought that was pretty cool. And here you can see they're busy building another house. So all the work is done by white men. This is a double garage of some house. This is probably by the holiday resort. But I just love the way they did this stuff. I really like it. This is a photograph, but it's a bad photograph. Basically, what I did was I had a photo from a distance, and I tried to cut out the part that relates to these two white guys working. But because it was such a small thing, it came out badly. But here are two white guys who are busy working. They're busy cleaning they're busy sweeping the street. And I don't know what that thing is there. Might be some kind of machine that they got. But white men do all the work here. Here is Oranje from another angle. Here are some other buildings. And you can see some whites there in the distance. You can see the vehicles that are parked. Everything's nice and neat. And here we are back at the little holiday resort. And look at these cute buildings on their little pedestals. And it looks so cute. And look at this. Here's another one of those buildings. I just love these things. Down here underneath, somebody's trailer that you can tow with a car. Back then, they already had some gas. There's a gas bottle there. But yeah, looks good. Now, they've got a couple of their own buildings that you could call like municipal buildings. And I think this might even be the building that leads to the Oranje radio station. And so you can see there's an Oranje sign here on the left that's cut off. But here's where you go in. I wasn't inside this building. But nice little design. and very cool. Here's another estate agent's sign, and it says te koop, for sale, Offsaal Eiendomme, Offsaai Eiendomme, that's the name of the business, and there's the guy's phone number. But I doubt these phone numbers work now, it's 13 years later. This is a very important sign that I spotted in Oranje, very important. And I'm going to translate this thing for you, and I want to tell you what this is about and what it means. This sign here is the VF Plus, and you can see there's their website. The VF is the Freedom Front. It's in Afrikaans, it's Vryheidsfront. And so the Freedom Front Plus is a political party that was started in 1994. At the time that South Africa went under black rule. In other words, let's put it properly, that's when the nightmare descended upon us. Okay? So when the nightmare descended upon us, there was a period of time where one of the generals threatened war, and his name was Viljoen, and he was very famous. Anyhow, at a point, this general was sort of trying to stand his ground in some way, and he met with Nelson Mandela. And Nelson Mandela then said to him, well, if you've got support, prove your support by registering a political party and then show us, you know, what you got. Anyway, that is just part of the junk. Oh, yes, and Nelson Mandela also said to him, that when he's in parliament, if he gets into parliament and his party is functioning, that then they can have talks about a white homeland, an Afrikaner Volkstaat, an Afrikaner homeland. In other words, the Afrikaner's version of the Third Reich, where Afrikaners have got their own state. But strictly speaking, the Afrikaners have no problems with English people who want to come and live among them. They don't have a problem if you're white. If you're white, you'll be allowed into that state. Make no mistake. So General Viljoen then fell for the trick. And he then stood down, didn't go further with any militant stuff. And he entered politics. And he entered politics, I think, for about 7 years. And he tried to have discussions with Nelson Mandela. And Nelson Mandela just stuffed him around. Nelson Mandela stuffed him around royally. And right at the end, one day, General Viljoen had had enough. Constant Viljoen had had enough. And he went into parliament and he resigned. But man, he gave a fiery speech. He gave the best speech that I'd ever heard. He gave such a fiery, angry speech. A white man who was really angry. This is almost like the Boers and the Battle of Blood River when they were really pissed off with Dingaan. And I tell you, General Constant Viljoen gave a speech. It was angry. It was fiery. And he told the whole freaking parliament of blacks, he told them how they'd stuffed him around, how they'd wasted his time, etc. And of course, when it was all over, people gave an applause and they couldn't care less, and he left. I tried afterwards to try and get an actual copy of his actual speech. I've even asked the Freedom Front for a copy of his speech. And I wish to hell we could get a copy of the video of his speech. It was good, man. It was the best angry white man speech that I've seen in South Africa in decades. Maybe Triernicht or Eugene Terblanche did better, but I must tell you, this was given in the parliament and was excellent. So the Freedom Front was basically an attempt at creating an Afrikaans political party. But the Boere Afrikaners are the big losers, are the huge losers in South Africa going under black rule, because they had the National Party and they had a much bigger voter base. The National Party had a huge voter base compared to the Freedom Front. But the National Party closed its doors and everybody gave up. So the whites actually lost the greatest political leverage that they had. They became so despondent. So the Freedom Front is actually the only remaining true Afrikaans political party in the South African Parliament. Now, they were pushing to try and get Afrikaans votes, but also white votes. And I believe over the years, they've also kind of lost their faith in themselves. They've begun bringing in non-whites and others and so forth. So there are many whites who are more racial, and they don't like where the Freedom Front is going. But the truth of the matter is that the Freedom Front was basically started by General Constant Viljoen, and Constant Viljoen's assistant, I forget his name, the guy was a colonel in the South African Defence Force. He plays a big role in the Freedom Front. So you could say that the Freedom Front was started by the military, actually. A bunch of Afrikaans military guys started the Freedom Front. And they were top-notch guys. They were high-ranking officers with General Constant Viljoen, who was a very famous general. He was like the best of the South African generals. And he was the guy who ran this thing. So this sign was put up by the Freedom Front in Oranje. But now take a look at the wording that's sitting on this sign, which you won't see anywhere else. So I'm going to read it to you and I'm going to translate it to you. It says, Die Vryheidsfront is eerstens onherroepelik verbind tot die verkryging van die Afrikaner volk se vryheid in 'n volksstaat onder 'n eie regering. So let me just translate that to you. Die Vryheidsfront is eerstens onherroepelik verbind. The Freedom Front is firstly unequivocally bound to, and then it says, tot die verkryging van die Afrikaner volkse vryheid, to obtaining the freedom of the Afrikaner people. In a volkstaat, in an ethno state, there it says, in an ethno state, onder 'n eie regering, under their own government. So that thing is saying that the Freedom Front is bound, it's unequivocally, totally and utterly bound to obtaining freedom for the Afrikaner people in their own ethno state under their own government, period. And you won't see this anywhere else. And I think that's awesome. I don't know if that sign is still up, but that thing blew my mind. I was so delighted when I saw that thing. So back to the holiday resort. Let's see what other things. Here they also had a wind turbine. Somebody had a wind turbine. I don't know how effective it was. I know that in recent years they've gone for solar energy. They've actually done a very successful solar experiment recently, and they're totally rocking. But back then already, they were playing around with some wind power. And in that particular region, at that height, I would think that that thing can generate some electricity. This is probably the only photo that I've got of their fields. So they kindly took me out, and I went and we looked at their pipeline, and there you can see their fields. They've got sophisticated irrigation that they run on their fields, and these people are rocking and rolling. Some more of these lovely, cool wooden houses, etc. Now, this is very cool. I actually have other photos, but I haven't put them into this slideshow. One of the things that I really liked about Orania is you could see that people, whites, it's so typical. Those of you who know of Ben Carson in North America, Ben Carson with his Church of Creativity, and he talks about whites being creators. Well, let me tell you, you see a lot of that in Orania. You'll see all kinds of you'll see all kinds of cool, weird experiments that whites are doing, and I love it. I myself am the same. And here, this to me was one of the coolest experiments. Somebody took a house and they basically covered it in this in these bales of grass. And the idea, I think, was to see if how insulation would go. How nice and cool is it inside? You know, how will it be in winter and summer? I love this thing. So you can see the windows and everything. They've got the windows that they've got. You can see these are not normal South African windows. These are the kinds of windows that you'd get in America and Europe and Canada, etc. These are like good insulated windows. But I love this. This was just one of a number of things that they did. And let's see what other ones we've got. There were some of these houses, these Dutch style, old Dutch style houses, but obviously brand new, built recently. And by the way, here you can see their recycling thing. There it is, papier, plastic, glass. So you can see all the stuff there. And here's another photo. I didn't take this photo. This is just another photo that somebody took. Almost looks like they took it from a hilltop or something. And you can see their fields in the distance. But beyond where they irrigate, you know, it's miserable and dry, etc. Some more, another little building on the edge of like a hill. This is all part and parcel of their little holiday resort, all nicely designed. So here are some other houses that whites had. So all these people, they either live in an apartment or they got their own homes that they've built. Back to the holiday resort. And this was a news story from a couple of years ago. And there are a couple of times when some of the newspapers in South Africa, mostly the non-English, because the English, when it comes to English newspapers, they are all dominated by you know who. And so sometimes some of the smaller newspapers, even black newspapers, will sometimes actually do a story about Orania. And then people will have to admit, hey, look at this. These whites went off and did their own thing, and they are rocking. So it says an indictment of South Africa. Whites only town, Orania is booming. And this was 25 years after apartheid. Black people cannot live and work in this small South African city. So by then it had grown quite a bit. When I was there, the population I think was about 1,100, and I think the latest population figure I've heard is 2,600. But if you look here, you'll see there are the circular fields. They are circular because of their irrigation. And you can see they've got lots of fields, and you can see they've got lots and lots of fields going a large distance away. Here's the small town. Now there are some places that I took photographs when I was there, but I lost some of those photographs. Let's say I lost them on my computer, in that I don't have some of the other photos I took. There is an area in Oranje that's got factories. They've got their factories and their workshops. I'm not sure if it's maybe some of this, if it's this stuff near the bottom. Otherwise, if it's not this at the bottom, and the more I look at it, the more it looks like normal houses, then it must be a bit further away. But they had some small factories and workshops of their own. They had like their own little industrial center. And I so wish that I had photos of that, because I was pretty impressed with it back then. And I'm sure that by now it must be much, much bigger. Oranje has changed a lot since the 13 years that I was there. But this will give you an idea of this little place. And these whites are just working away, carrying on, doing their own stuff. I had other photos. I had photos of guys who had their own tractors, and they were doing their own thing. Oranje is capitalist. People go out and they do work. And if a guy's got a tractor, then they pay him to use his tractor, and he's got work to do. And Oranje's got its own radio station. So that is the radio station. It is 95.5 FM. I don't know what their situation is with their radio station or their websites currently. And it says under here, Ons eie stem, our own voice. This sign here, it says, Naam bord geborg deur Oranje Sakekamer. So what it's saying is this billboard has been sponsored by the Oranje business, sort of business chamber or business group. They've got organizations and people who've got positions with various jobs. Everyone's got to get on and do their work. And this is the final photo that I have from Oranje. And this is the children's playground. So this is where the kids can go and play. They've got their own school. They've got lots of things. They've got stacks of things. These few photos that I've put up don't really do them any justice, and I'm sure that by now it's much bigger. The last photos I saw, they were beginning to have like real shops, like a shopping center. I don't know if they've been striking business deals with other groups, but they may be rocking and rolling. So anyway, that'll give you a quick idea of what Oranje was like 13 years ago when I went there. I've only been there once. Let me just discuss a few things about Oranje. In South Africa, it would be illegal to create any company or any organization of any kind that does not allow other people in. So the fact that these people managed to pull off Oranje, and that Oranje can function as it does, is itself quite an intellectual and legal feat. The way that they've done it is they've created a strange kind of company structure. And so there's a whole bunch of rules and things involved in this thing. And it's not easy to get into Oranje. So if you go to Oranje, it's not like you're moving into another suburb and you just go and buy a house there and now you live there and then you're sick and tired of it and you sell the house and you leave. No. Oranje functions in a whole different way. In order to get into Oranje is quite a story and a half. And you basically become a shareholder in this thing. I don't know the exact structure, but the point is that they've got a very strange structure, and that's what allows them to be able to do this. Because otherwise, this would be totally illegal. Rest assured, a hell of a lot of work and thought went into this. And there is a thing called the Oranje Movement, and they are the force behind this thing. The man that you see on the screen in front of you, his name is Professor Karel Boshoff. This is the man who's the actual brains behind Oranje. And he died a couple of years ago, about a decade ago. In South Africa, there were lots of white Afrikaans people who became professors and scientists and intellectuals and academics. And decades ago, these people were already writing and thinking about race and how the country should function, etc. There were books that were written about apartheid, about how should apartheid be implemented. How are they going to implement this racial segregation system? What are the rules going to be? And all of these things were thought up by white Afrikaans intellectuals, and among them are lots of professors. So just like Nazi Germany or the Italians, South Africa also had a lot of highly educated white guys with actual IQs and real brains, and they did a lot of thinking. When you read what the liberal scum and others write about Oranje and about whites on the white right, you'll always hear them say, oh no, these guys are idiots and fools and morons. No, that's not true. That's garbage. These people were real intellectuals and they studied and operated with the kinds of standards that were right up there with the rest of the Western world. These are people, some of them, like Verwoerd, even studied in Canada and Germany, etc. Studied and passed his exams, and he knows what he's talking about. He's not some kind of buffoon. And Karel Boshoff is the same thing. My understanding is that Karel Boshoff wrote a book a long time ago. And basically this idea of Oranje is an academic experiment. And Karel Boshoff is the guy behind it. And Boshoff wrote a book. And he wrote about the need to create a community that is far away from other communities. It must exist in almost the loneliest part of the country, because the whole goal of it is to put these people there and to let them function with absolute minimal outside interference. And this whole thing is actually an experiment in many ways. And Boshoff thought it all out. So never listen to all this nonsense that right-wingers and racialists are stupid. That's just a bunch of liberal and Jewish claptrap. They don't want people to think in racial terms, in terms of white unity. They don't want any of that kind of stuff at all. Why? Because other whites are going to like it. They need to constantly keep white people away from doing the natural thing, which is let's stick together and stand together and work together as a unit, as a team. They don't want that. They know that that thing will ultimately become very, very successful. They know that it will be successful, and they want to keep whites away from going down that path, because then whites will lose all interest in all this diversity, liberal garbage, and then whites will say, hey, let's all go and live in whites-only cities and towns and communities. Let's go do our own thing. It works fine. And they know that that is what would happen if they left it alone. Oranje has something that I don't think many people know about. They have a tiny museum. And that little museum is, to my knowledge, the only museum to Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd, the man that you see there. Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd is, in my view, unquestionably the greatest South African Prime Minister in the last 100 years. And at Oranje, they've got this statue to him. But I didn't go to see the statue. Inside Oranje, there is a house, and the entire little house is dedicated as a museum to the life of Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd. And it's got all kinds of things about Hendrik Verwoerd in there. I was in there, and I know I did take photos, but like all the other photos, I don't know where they are. I think they're on one of my very old computers, and I'll have to go hunting for that. But there is definitely a museum, little museum, to Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd. The Jews hate him. They hate Hendrik Verwoerd. They hate him with an intense passion, and they describe him as the architect of apartheid. So Hendrik Verwoerd is at least remembered in Oranje, and that to me is one of the great things. I can tell you that should I go back to Oranje again, I would definitely study that little museum much more closely. I have a lot more knowledge about Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd now than I had before. But I regard it as a very important part of Oranje. They have kept some things alive there, quietly. Deep down, those whites do dream of their own state. And let me tell you that there are lots of Afrikaans whites across South Africa who dream of their own state, even if they're not living in Oranje. You have not seen the last of the Boers, I assure you. Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd had studied in Canada, I think, and also he studied a lot in Germany in the 1920s. And Hendrik Verwoerd said in one of his speeches, he said that the whites of South Africa have only lived through one quarter of their existence. I strongly suspect that Hendrik Verwoerd must have read the writings of Oswald Spengler. And I regard the predictions of Oswald Spengler as the most accurate predictions of what is coming in the world. I've gone through Oswald Spengler's work, and I really like what he says. And I must tell you, I think between him and Nietzsche, they made the greatest predictions of the future of European people. And Verwoerd was a sociologist. He was a professor of sociology. So Verwoerd had a deep grasp of humans
and humans as groups. So like I've said before, you've not seen the last of the Boers, and you've definitely not seen the last of the Germans either.
And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, thank the whites.